Thank you. You may be seated. Hey, it's so good to see you here today to worship at Shades. For those that are here in our worship service and also for those that are online, thank you for joining with us today. And we have people in the balconies up here. Give a big hand for the balcony folks over there. Yes. Hey, we thank y'all. This is kind of starting to fill up a little bit. This is looking great. Okay, I'm going to share something with you, which I know is going to be a big surprise to you. And that is something that I really enjoy. Whether I hear it in person, I watch it on a video, or watch it in a movie, is when coaches talk to their players and they challenge them, they issue demands upon them, and they ask them to make a commitment towards greatness. Now, oftentimes this happens when tryouts begin, and it may be winter, maybe spring, but they all come together and all these wannabes are out there. And when coaches talk to them, they do not sugarcoat it. They just tell them how it is, tell them how it's going to be. I was talking to Rick Burgess about his dad. His dad, Bill Burgess, coached at Jacksonville State University. He won four conference championships, won a national championship. And I just said, so what does your dad, what did he say to him? He said, well, he had a standard that he would say. And what he would do is he would look at them, look at all the players, and he says, I have a program right here laid out for you. I am a dictator, and that means you need to do everything I tell you to do. You need to do everything that is within this program, and if you do that, we got a chance to be a champion. However, there will be some of you that say, it's just too hard, and you're going to quit, and you're going to sit in the stands on Saturdays, and when you sit in the stands on Saturdays, you're going to tell everybody around you what a great player you could have been if your coach hadn't been so mean to you. But there will be others of you that will accept this program. You'll make the commitment. And we'll have an opportunity to play for championships. And I can just see the faces of those players as they sit there and they're looking at this. And you can begin to almost see the excitement building in these guys because they said, yes, we're willing to do this. We know the demands are rigorous. We know there are benefits on it. We're ready to get after it. Now, the vast majority of these athletes are willing to do this because they believe in that coach. And they know that that coach, that man or that woman, they've won some championships before. And they can be able to give them what they need to be able to reach a championship. And so they're willing to do the work. They're willing to pay the price. And we applaud them. And it fires us up. But then we come to Jesus in Luke 9:23. And in Luke 9:23, Jesus says, hey, if anyone wants to come after me, if anybody wants to go with me and to be my disciple, if anybody wants to play on my team, if anybody wants me to be the coach of their life, then I'm going to ask you to do some things. I'm going to ask you to deny yourself. Not self-denial. Self-denial is when you take a checklist and check a few things off to say, I'm not going to do this. He says, deny self. That means take the most important thing in your life, which is yourself, and give those rights to Jesus. It means you step off the throne of your life, and then we will place him, Jesus, on the throne of your life. Then he says, take up your cross daily. Ugh, that sounds kind of rough. And follow me. So, Jesus says, hey, you want to be on my team? Lay out the program. This is what it says. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, let me tell you, does that get you jacked up? Does that fire you up? Well, to be honest, for most people, no. For most people, it doesn't. Most say, that's a little extreme. It's a little over the top. It's a tad too much commitment. In our honest moments, we think that Jesus should be a little less demanding and kind of have more of a laissez-faire attitude. Shouldn't he just be content that we occasionally come to a Sunday morning worship service or watch him online, that we engage in a weekly Bible study, and then for bonus points and extra credit, we get involved in a ministry that would serve other people? And it seems that if we do that, then he should allow us to pretty well live our lives any way we want to the rest of the times. Isn't a few hours a week okay? Isn't just a few hours a week okay? And why should Jesus make such great demands? Well, I don't know. I mean, Jesus is only the Son of God, who in obedience to his Father died a death on a cross to pay a debt of sin that he did not owe, to bridge the separation between God and humanity that you and I caused because of our sin. And we are talking about a relationship with the one true God. From a macro level, it's the God that created the universe. From a micro level, it's the God that knit us together in our mother's womb and created you for a purpose. And Jesus lived a sinless life, taught us about God, worked miracles, suffered, died, and was victoriously raised from the dead to restore our relationship with God the Father so we can live a life of purpose that brings honor and glory to God here on earth, spend eternity with Him in heaven, and be saved from eternal damnation in hell. And Jesus is the one who has secured your eternal destiny, not a fleeting trophy or an oversized championship ring. He is the one who can make demands. And how can a Savior who gave His life for us be content with anything less than seeing us live our lives totally for Him? How can you and I not be willing to give a greater level of commitment, even a greater amount of sacrifice and energy to the one who died for you? All right, so now that I got you in this mindset, let's take a look at Luke 9:23. You ready? All right. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, hey, to the crowd, those that are hanging around with Him, if anybody wants to come after Me, three things: deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. We took that verse and we took that word come. If anybody's come after Me, it can be translated to go. So if anybody wants to go with Me, and that with Me to be My disciple. So this is our translation. If anyone would go with Me as My disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. If anybody wants to go with Me, we talked last week about the difference between the word follow and go. Oftentimes follow, if you say, hey, I want you to follow Me to the game, that means you get in your car and you follow Me and go behind Me. But if I said, you want to go with Me to the game, that intimates that I want you to come and get in the front door, sit in the front seat, and let's go ride together, or let's walk together. There's a greater intimacy to that. There's a relationship, a communication that's happening here. And this is what Jesus is calling us to do. And He says, listen, if anybody wants to go with Me, if you want to be My disciple, if you want to be My follower, a part of that is going with Me, then there are three things here that you need to do. This is My plan. I have laid out My plan for you. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. So, last week was deny self. Today, take up the cross daily. Now, anytime you read Scripture, you always want to read it and take it into the context. Don't take it into the 2020 context. Take it into the, let's say, 30 AD context. What was that crowd thinking about back in 30 AD when Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross daily? All right, now you're listening to this. And in your head, you're saying, take up your cross daily. Now, it's different than what we hear today. Too many times you've heard people say about bearing my cross. You ever heard that? Oh, that's just my cross to bear. That's just my cross to bear. And what they're talking about is there's some frustration in life. There's some irritation in life. There's some crazy family member, or there's some difficult boss to work for. And they say, that's just my cross to bear. And so when we think of take up your cross, it's like, well, it's just taking up another burden. Just means I got to be patient with one of these people here. No, it didn't mean that at all. It's not dealing with someone that's crazy. During that day, when they're sitting there in the crowd and Jesus says, take up your cross, you know what they think it is? It's a means of execution. Because that's what it was. Cross is a means of execution. It's where people were crucified. And so for us, it would be like if Jesus was preaching today, He says, take up your electric chair. Take up the syringe for a lethal injection. And then I want you to follow Me. You see, when a man in New Testament times took up a cross and he went off with a little band of Roman soldiers, he was on a one-way journey. He would not be coming back. And everybody knew it. So what does that mean for us today? Keeping that in mind, when they looked at it, it's a thing of execution. And once a person grabs a cross, he's gone, he's not coming back. And when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, what does that mean? Well, I want you to write these things down. And it's just quick notes for you. And hopefully every time you see this passage and somebody asks you, what does it mean to take up your cross? Maybe it can give you some understanding. Number one, it is a voluntary choice. It is a voluntary choice. When you choose to take up your cross daily, it's voluntary. That word, take up, it means to lift, take, carry along. It is a volitional choice. This is your cross, and you choose to pick it up in the crisis of self-denial. He says, deny yourself, take up this cross. Take up this cross. It means you commit your life without reservation. There's a willingness to endure whatever may come. And he's letting you know on the front end, it's a voluntary choice. I'm not forcing you. I'm just challenging you. If you're going to follow me, Jesus says, you need to take up your cross. Jesus does not invite you to put the cross on and try it on for size. Jesus does not say, hey, if you take up my cross, you get extra credit. That's a great thing to do. Not at all. He said, if you're going to be a part of following me, you take up your cross. Taking up your cross separates the disciples from the admirers. And if we're just going to be a cultural Christian type of admirer over here, there's not going to be a taking up a cross. But if we're serious about this and are being a true follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, it means take up your cross. It is a voluntary choice. Number two, it's a vested choice. It is a vested choice. When he says take up your cross, that's permanent. It means you are all in. You are committed. I am vested. I am fully vested in this thing. I am committed to take that walk. When you take up the cross, it meant the utmost in self-denial. In fact, those people who were listening, it literally meant the death of self. It's the picture of a man already condemned, required to carry his cross on the place of execution, and everybody knew where he was headed. And for us today, what does it mean? It means to the death of self as the ruling one in our life. The death of self as that ruling one in my life. When I pick up that cross, I am vested, I am fully in, I am totally committed. It means that all of your desires and all of my desires for popularity, recognition, and success are subservient to Jesus. Now, these three things are not bad in themselves, to be popular or to get recognition or to have success, but if they are the driving force in your life, then the cross is no longer on your shoulders. Jesus takes a back seat, and you are not going with him. You are walking ahead of him, and you do not know the path, and that's a dangerous journey to take. Taking up your cross means it's a commitment to be all in. Jesus says, I want you to go with me. I don't want you to go ahead of me. I want you to go with me. And if you're going to go with me, you have to take your cross. And what happens to some of us, we don't want to do that. We really want to be living life on our own. And once we do that, it's not sitting next to Jesus, putting him in the back seat, and I'm trying to lead out on there. He says, hey, that's not it. That's not going to work. If you're going to be a disciple or follower of mine, it'll be a voluntary choice, a vested choice. It is a visible choice. It is a visible choice. You say, what do you mean visible choice? Have you ever seen anybody carry a cross? Have you ever seen anybody carry a cross? Growing up, there was a guy named Arthur Blessed back in the 60s. And some of you can nod on that. This guy carried a cross all across the United States, all around the world. He went over 43,000 miles. The guy's carrying a cross. And it wasn't a necklace. I mean, it was a full-blown cross. And so whenever you saw him, it was evident there's a guy physically carrying a cross. The same thing for us. When we choose to carry a cross, it's visible. Our life should be different. I was just thinking if you ran into somebody and they had a cross, and it'd be like you and your wife were there and you got into discussion with them, and then you finished up the conversation, you walked away, and your wife says to you, and she says, wow, what'd you think about that guy's cross? And I said, what cross? I didn't see a cross. You say, that's impossible. It's right there. Whenever we take up our cross, our lives should be so different that there is a visible difference there to where people would look at you and see, hey, there is something different. When Jesus gives the call to take up the cross, he is not calling secret disciples. He's not calling people to hide in the shadows and not to stand out. It is a visible choice. You're either going with Jesus or you're not. And if you're going with Jesus, there's going to be a visible difference in your life and people will notice. It is a visible choice. But fourth of all, it is a value choice. It's a values choice. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, it is values. It shows what you or who you value the most. It shows who or what you value the most. When I take up that cross, I am telling others and myself, this is what I value the most. There's a cost to it. And is it worth the cost to go with Jesus? Are you willing to pay the price? Do you value more the world or the Word of God? Do you value more selfish desires or the Savior's demands? Do you value more the opinions of others or obedience? Career advancement or Christ acknowledgement? Comfort or commitment? Lust or love? Greed or godliness? Fear or faith? Hatred or hope? Indifference or integrity? These are all values choices. And the way we make those choices is, who's going to be the Lord of my life? And if I'm truly going to deny myself and I'm going to pick up that cross, once I pick up the cross, I have just said, this is what I value. This is what I value. And I value the things of God, and that is who I will follow. What that means is you will take your stand for Jesus no matter what it costs. You will take your stand for Jesus no matter what it costs. You put those two points together. It's visible and it's values. And when those come together and you truly are carrying the cross, then that means you make a stand for Christ, no matter what the cost. And there are people I know who made a stand for Christ in their business, and they got fired. Because they said, things you're asking me to do, I just can't do, and I'm willing to step away from the job or you release me because I cannot do those type of things. What is it that you value? And you see, we pick up that cross, it lets the world know that I value Jesus and I value his teachings. And you got to make those stands. And here's the thing, is if we truly carry our cross, it is visible. People will notice a difference. And you know, after a while, people will stop asking you to do things that would compromise your beliefs. Because they would come around and they would see you and they go, well, I don't need to ask that person. I don't need to ask you about this because I already know how you stand on that. When I went to college and I told my testimony, and that the strangest places that God had me was in a fraternity. That was never on my list, but God led me there and I joined it, became a part of a fraternity. And in everything everybody talks about is, oh man, it's just going to be a beer blast all the time. There's going to be so much drinking. And how in the world are you going to be a member in there? Well, I'd grown up, I'd never tasted alcohol. And it was never a draw to me. I never did it in high school. So now I'm getting to college and everyone says, oh, you're going to be among all those fraternity, 120 guys. What's it going to be like? And I can still see today, standing in the main room, and there was a guy, his name was Ray Jabor, and he was an intimidating man. He had played football at one of the high schools, and he was built like a brick house, and they had a keg party coming up. And so what they wanted to do is everybody had to kick in some money for it. And so he walks over to me and is asking me to kick in money for it, okay? Well, I saw my life flash before my eyes right there with this big guy. And I just told him, I said, listen, I don't drink. So just going to give you a little bit of kind of where I'm at. Since I don't drink, I don't really think I need to give money towards it on there. And he looked at me and says, I respect that. That's good. Well, I changed clothes. And then I just continued on that journey. But as people would ask that alcohol question or so, for me, it just became, well, no, I don't drink, and that's okay. And all of a sudden, by the time my second, third, fourth years in the fraternity, nobody asked. Nobody had to. Nobody tried to convince me that I need to change or so. You made the stand. Once you made the stand, people see where you stand, they're not going to keep asking you. And a lot of those compromising situations won't come your way. And so it's a values choice and it's a visible choice. But I got to tell you this, it's also a vulnerable choice. It's a vulnerable choice. You're susceptible to being wounded or hurt. you're susceptible to being wounded or hurt. When we take up the cross, it means we identify with Jesus in his suffering and we endure suffering. What Jesus demanded is that they should face the same thing that he was ready to face. And he has the right to call on us to carry our cross because he bore his cross for us. And so he looks to us and he says, I want you, take up your cross. And you got to understand, you identify with my suffering and you will endure suffering. To bear the cross means there is a willingness to endure suffering and even death for his sake. Carrying your cross means being treated with contempt, scorn, or disdain because you are following the narrow way of Jesus Christ. And it comes from living out the business and sexual ethics of Christ in the marketplace, the community, the family, and the world. John 15:20, Jesus told his followers on the night of his arrest, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Totally committed, willing to face anything, including death and suffering. True disciples, they stake their lives on their confession that Jesus is the Messiah and they will follow him on this way to suffering. It is standing in difficult circumstances for the sake of the gospel, no matter the cost. Take up your cross. It's vulnerable. There's a willingness to endure suffering. But number six is, it's a vigorous choice. It's a vigorous choice. What do you mean it's a vigorous choice? Vigorous. It means it's active, it's robust, it's energetic, it's forceful. Where do you get that? He says, take up your cross. And what was the next word? Anybody remember? How often? Daily. Take up your cross daily. When you do something daily, that's a vigorous thing. It's not, hey, once a month or once a quarter. Every day. It is a daily exercise, not a weekly, monthly journey, but daily. And so what Jesus is asking us is not modest adjustments in our lives, but a complete overhaul of our behavior. And he calls us to bear our cross daily. You see, the really important thing is not the great moments of sacrifice, but a life lived in constantly, hourly awareness of the demands of God and the needs of others. It's 24/7 every day. That is where the great blessing comes. Not just so that you and I can tick off one or two incredible moments in our life, and those are special, but it is the daily, everyday journey. That's really where the power is. And so, I'm not talking about something that we only do at the beginning of our Christian life. It's amazing. Some people think, oh, you're so excited when you become a Christian. Hey, you know what Jesus said? Deny self, take your cross, follow me. God said, okay, good, I'm fired up. And so, let's just do that for a while. And so, they start doing it for a while and do it for a few weeks. Then you kind of get over it and you say, okay, that was good. No, no, no. This isn't just for a beginning Christian. It's not just an occasional sacrifice along the way. This is everyday discipleship. It means laying ourselves on the altar of daily obedience. Do it every day. But let me ask you a question. It's a question I've had to ask myself. How could a Savior who gave his life for us be content with anything less than seeing us live our lives daily for him? How could he expect any less? Take up your cross. And last of all, it's a victorious choice. It's a victorious choice. When you take up that cross and you follow Jesus, that's a victorious choice. Galatians 2:20, Apostle Paul says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's talking about, man, I'm picking up that cross because I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. There's a radical transformation that has taken place. My sins have no claim on me. My old life, my old plans, my old goals, my old life, my old relationships, they've all been nailed to the cross. They've all been nailed to the cross. And what that means is that your death to self, Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross. When you give death to yourself, it brings a whole new life with Jesus Christ who takes up residence in your life
in the person of the Holy Spirit and takes that top spot, sitting on the throne of your life. The Lord lives out His life in you day by day as you maintain a total dependence on Him by taking up your cross daily and going with Him. Does it make sense? He says, you're going to follow me. There's going to be a difference in your life. Take up that cross. When you take up that cross, it's like my disciple ID. You've got your identification. And you said, hey, got your cross with you? I got it. Okay, go with me. Let's walk side by side. Let's take this path together. And when we do this, you're going to see things, do things that you would have never imagined possible. Because the power of God will be energizing your life as you follow the Savior. And God uses you in incredible ways. And then when you get to the end of your journey, and you step out of this world, you step into eternity, you're there in heaven with God, who looks at you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I want to tell you what you can do now. You can take that cross and you can just place it down right here. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and go with me. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much that your Son, who gave his life for our sins, does not come back with a soft commitment for us. Something as amazing as him dying on a cross to provide us salvation should require a strong response from us. And so I pray, Lord, right now for every one of us, that as we've come face to face with what it means to take up your cross, that we would be those who would be committed to say, Father, I want to take it up. For some, Lord, they've never done it before. May today be the day when they take up that cross and they go with you. There are others, Lord, to be very, very honest, they would say, you know, I did that one time. In fact, I've done it a couple times and I've left it behind. Maybe today is the day when they stoop down, they pick it back up and they say, Lord, I am all in. And I'm no longer going to be a secret disciple, but I want to be one that is visible, that stands for the values. And Lord, I'm willing to be vulnerable for whatever the suffering may come, because I know it is victorious by me picking up this cross. Father, let your Spirit speak to us today and guide us in decisions we make. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.